There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
John Defterios on the line once again from apparently a balmy London at the moment, John.
Man, it doesn't get much nicer than this. It's like 27 degrees and not a cloud in the sky. So Wimbledon at its finest before the tournament.
What a place it is. Let's talk about the story really, John, of the last few days. G7 finance ministers meeting in Canada yesterday. Frosty reception for the US, it's fair to say, after those steel and aluminium tariffs. The question, though, is who makes the next move and what is that next move?
Well, I wouldn't want to be Steve Mnuchin at that meeting. That's what he had to face, as you're suggesting, in Canada, head of the G7 summit of the leaders. I thought it was kind of an odd statement, and Mnuchin answered to it that, please send a message to your president, and you don't need to have it sent personally, because they said it publicly at a press conference, that we're really unhappy about what you hit us with. We tried in vain. On many levels, Tim, this is what I thought was the most interesting side of it. Don't forget, just over a month ago, Emmanuel Macron was at the White House. Just a couple of days later, Angela Merkel of Germany was at the White House. They followed that up with their trade envoys, face-to-face meetings at the OECD meeting in Paris, and it kind of fell on deaf ears. So the U.S. has moved forward with the tariffs, as you suggested. Mnuchin says, of course, I'll tell the president, your position. And I'm curious to see how Trump kind of answers to the rest of the members of the G7 when they see each other in Quebec. But I think the response from Canada was the most forthright, saying, how could you possibly put this under a national security apparatus? And I actually dug up the law, and it goes back to 1962. After World War II and after the Korean War, the U.S. needed to rebuild their steel sector and then carried that over to aluminium, as you're suggesting. But to suggest you need to do that in 2018 is preposterous. There's no other word for it, to be candid. And the European response, which I covered here out of London, was much more measured, but the message was the same. So we have a 20-day window, Tim, where you could see the Europeans slap on much heavier tariffs, and that's likely to happen. And I think this could spiral. I hate to use the term trade war, but in my 30 years of doing coverage on this, I would never use that term, but this is the closest you can get to it because it could be tit for tat, a reaction leading to a chain reaction of everybody slapping tariffs on each other, and that's not good for anybody.
Well, that's the point here, isn't it? This is a very provocative act by its very nature. Trade war is an extreme term, but you would certainly believe a chain reaction is now about to come into play.
Yeah, I think so. And I went through the list. Our team from CNN Money was all over the story for the last few days. They got the list from the European Commission. We're looking at 400 products that are going to go on the list from the European Union, 28 countries, kind of the obvious ones that were being floated around for a long time. Blue jeans, Harley Davidson motorcycles, peanut butter. That's the small stuff. Yeah. They even put tariffs on U.S. steel products, higher-end steel products, of pipe and things like that that's exported to the European Union. I think the U.K. felt burned itself because it was thinking, okay, perhaps there's a scope for us with a special relationship here for us to build it after Brexit, right? And that's not going to happen either. So they felt, wow, even you're going to hit us with this, and we're trying to set up a bilateral relationship, post-European Union. So, yeah, it's not good. And I think there are different layers to this, by the way. We would be fools to suggest that Donald Trump's going to stop at steel and aluminium. He's already doing an investigation against German cars as one kind of measure here. But I was saying on the air, this is kind of the moves by John Bolton, his national security advisor, Wilbur Ross, his commerce secretary. It's punch first and then let's negotiate. So I'm going to hit you with tariffs. I'm going to make you try to bend. If you don't bend, we'll negotiate after I hit you with the tariffs. Now, I heard Wilbur Ross suggesting, the Commerce Secretary, this is very small compared to the U.S. economy. Everybody's making a big deal of it. But it doesn't stop there because the European Union is going to do it. Canada's doing it. Mexico's doing it. It brings the NAFTA trade relationship in question. And I was very proud of the Europeans who said, we're just going to stay in the multilateral apparatus. This is illegal. And I'm sure we'll win the case within the WTO as we go forward.
Can I pick up on something you mentioned just briefly there? An investigation into, or against, I guess, German automakers. What's the premise here?
Well, so I said they're not going to stop at steel and aluminium.
Yeah.
On cars, the European Union exports over a million cars a year. I think it's 1.2, 1.3 million cars a year. It's big, right? 37 billion euros of trade that goes into the United States.
For sure.
But on the other hand, the German automakers themselves produce 850,000 cars in the United States. They've been setting up plants all over the place, particularly in the South because of the labor laws in the southern United States, right? So where does Donald Trump draw the lines? And okay, anything that is exported from Germany into the United States is now illegal, and any car you sell in the United States has to be made in the United States? And has that applied to U.S. products going forward? Well, the Europeans said you can't export any product from the United States into the European Union. It has to be produced in Europe, or we're not accepting it. You see what I'm getting at? So that's the chain reaction, because one could say, well, you're going to do that to us, we're going to do it to you. And it will slow down growth. You know, we're growing 4% this year. It's great.
Mm.
But the IMF and the World Bank were suggesting, look, this is a fragile growth. So if you had skyrocketing oil prices, or if you had a trade war, that could quickly turn the other direction. So you can see the dangers of this escalating quite rapidly. And I'm not even sure if the NAFTA in its current form will survive. And I think Donald Trump, to be honest with you, thinks he can be the bully in the schoolyard. I'll get what I want. Eventually, you have to come my way because I'm the largest economy. I wouldn't bank on that, Tim. I think people are pretty fed up with the attitude they're getting from Washington. He thinks everybody will cave with the bullying. He thinks the North Koreans will cave and they'll do what he wants. But if one of these things backfires, right, it changes the sentiment quite quickly. I also think the financial markets have been too generous with him, kind of factoring in the best-case scenario, not the worst-case scenario, or a medium kind of damage scenario from the trade disputes we see.
It's been a lot to think about this week, John. I did want to get your thoughts as a California native who's now Abu Dhabi-based, but family are in London, in Wimbledon, as you mentioned. Just your view while you're in the capital of the United Kingdom on Brexit, the process of Brexit, the progress as it stands now, John.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, you read in the papers, and this week it was no exception. The Chambers of Commerce, the Confederation of British Industry, they're saying, we need clarity. You know, you guys are inching along here, and we're lacking clarity. And I thought it was worth talking about it today because of where I'm living. You walk around, Tim, and in the last 2 months, because of the summer months coming up, and this is very seasonal sector, which is real estate. There's a lot of properties. I'm not talking about small properties. We're looking at 3, 4, 5 million pound properties, right, that are up on the docket and trying to be sold. They're already empty. So they're not renting. They're not selling. The stamp duty's high. The European companies are relocating their executives to the continent. They're not getting the clarity they're looking for. So the industrial sector here is asking for clarity. What are you going to set up? Is it a customs union that we can still trade amongst each other? Hard Brexit, soft Brexit, you see it leaning towards a soft Brexit. But the bottom line is, it's supposed to be March 2019 is the call, right? This is less than a year away. How do you plan if you don't have the level of clarity that you're looking for? And in the real estate market, you're looking at stamp duties that escalate quite high. You're looking at transactions that cost you 100,000 to 200,000 pounds to trade a house now because of the stamp duty. There's kind of whispers that it's going to change because it's killing the market. We don't know if it's Labour government. It'd probably go the opposite direction, go higher. So just in that 1 minute that I'm talking to you about, do you feel like it's a clear scenario, clear line of sight, what you can plan for with your staff? Even when I came in last week, I said, you know, do you realize the rules changed? You know, your permanent residency may not be so permanent. What are you talking about? And they were misinformed. So you're dealing, you know, at the immigration, and they don't know the rules because they're not getting clarity either. So I had to discuss, like, I think permanent residency means permanent. I lived here for longer than 7 years.
Mm.
You don't just snatch it away because you think the rules have changed. The rules haven't changed, but they haven't clarified it with their immigration officials. That gives you a sense of what's going on.
Gives you a great sense of what's happening, or not happening, as the case may be. CNN's John Defterios in London, back in the capital of the UAE in Abu Dhabi next week. Good to talk to you, John.
Thanks a lot, Tim. You take care.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.